The following is a production of Omnis.tv.
On this episode of Revelator, I welcome music guest The Chimps. I'll talk Holiday Hangover, bizarre ER visits, home invaders, UFC, NFL playoffs, the top movies out of the box, some more on Revelator. Buddy, to Revelator 2014, the very first show of the new year. And I hope everybody had a nice Christmas, nice holiday season, time with your family. Hopefully you purchased enough alcohol to deal with it. And hopefully you had a nice New Year's. I didn't do anything for New Year. And, Mike and I talked a little shop, and just enjoyed a nice quiet evening. And, one thing I did about New Year's is this.
20, 19, 18, 17, 16, 15, 14, 12, 10, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Happy New Year, everybody. Dick Clark counting down. I do miss that. Don't you miss that? 10, 9. That's wrong. Happy New Year. They should just put out Dick Clark's head. If you follow me on Twitter, I did mention that New Year's Eve. I was like, where's Dick Clark's head? Yeah, put it in the jar, sit up next to Ryan Seacrest, and he can also watch in awe as Jenny McCarthy slobbers and makes out with everybody she can. And awesome. She's like, hey, this is who I'm going to screw tonight, everyone. Blah, 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 Happy New Year. Take that, Jim. And I took half your money. Great movie. Thank you. Mike, how about yourself, man? Did you have a nice holiday season?
Yeah, man, it was relaxing. I did absolutely nothing but just hung out with the family and try to relax. And again, we had a couple conversations, of course. But yeah, man, I did exactly what I think you're supposed to do on vacation, right? Which is
right.
Not work, if at all possible. So
awesome. Very nice. Yeah, man, holidays were nice. Just kind of one of those things, where I have kids and stuff now. It's just more for kids and stuff. My son had a nice Christmas, and my sister got a Schwinn bicycle, so I had her Christmas Eve night, and actually after about three or four beers, it actually went pretty smooth. the tricycle seems to work. The seat hasn't fallen off. The pedals are still attached. The tassels are still, into the handlebars and stuff. So, no harm. Here's one tricycle assembled correctly. Kudos to me. I think if I would have waited to a six pack, it may not have gone that way. But, luckily I stopped at four and, got it together. So not too bad. And enjoyed the nice warmth of a fire on Christmas. Just in case Santa came down, I wanted to get a fire going, Yeah. Burn them up a little bit. But we've got a big show tonight. ho, ho, ho. The holiday season's over. I can be a jerk if I want to, okay? Santa's not real, okay? Jesus. Anyway. Isn't that the real reason we're celebrating anyway? I don't know who this guy is. No, I'm sorry. I'll stop right there. Okay? It's some guy from San Diego, I guess. I don't know. All right. This is interesting. This is going to be a TV show. This is how twisted we've become, and I just love these stories. I really do. And I just had to share it with you. This is actually going to be on ABC. This is not fake. Okay? This is a real deal. Dr. Jordan Mossif attends a sex addict Chicago emergency room. It says, objects stuck in places that shouldn't be stuck, broken penises by inept lovers, and even organs that they jokingly call Lorena Bobbitt cases. Penile rings that are really, really big problems, Mossif says. They should be a public service announcement. Don't use anything hinge or is not made of rubber or it's not coming off. I had one unfortunate incident where I had an urologist to Home Depot to get a diamond tip saw to remove a man's makeshift 8-inch steel cock ring. It actually had I had to have him sign a paper, Mossov says, to actually cut his penis off. The guy was actually fine with it. I'm not sure it was functional afterwards. Sparks were flying everywhere, and we were worried that the curtains would catch fire. Oh, it gets better. This is real deal right here. This is sent into the ER. This is supposed to debut very soon on the ABC network. It's classic. I love it. Now, other incidents have highlighted on the TV series. Rock singer doesn't the rock singer same who actually has a stroke during an actual act of sex and has to go to the ER. Another man broke his penis during a threesome, and one woman couldn't stop having an orgasm. Apparently, she was stuck on and had to go to the ER. Now, Mossov says he's seen millions of stories in his 14-year career. It happens more often than you think. People try to stay at home and they try to fix the situation, end up making it worse. People make bad decisions, and a lot of people do stupid stuff. One of the most common accidents is foreign objects stuck in the rectum. Of course it is. I mean, people just love to stick stuff in this, right? I mean, he doesn't go into detail of all the different objects that get stuck in asses, but you could use your imagination. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there and you've stuck something in your ass and had to go to the ER, and if you have, though, I want to laugh at you because you have something lodged in your asshole. I feel like, do you just like stick your iPhone up your butt, just put the kick vibrate on and call yourself a dozen times? Is that what you're doing? If you're doing that, and then don't sell that item on eBay. It's not right. Stop it. You sanitize it first. Other than that, you're fine. Now, here's something I'm trying to wrap my mind around, and Dr. Mossov talks about this. This is a good one here. I had to share it with you because it's just so twisted. A 77-year-old woman ends up in the emergency room in a muumuu dress with a claw hammer stuck in her vagina. Now, I'm trying to picture, okay, this 77-year-old woman who took... let's assume that she just took public transportation to the hospital, okay? This is in, the Chicago area, so I assume that she's in public transportation. She's probably on the subway. Maybe she's riding a bus. Some form like that. Maybe she took a taxi. You see a 77-year-old woman dressed in a muumuu with a claw hammer stuck in her vagina jumping into a taxi cab? How about hailing a cab out in the street with a claw hammer stuck in your vagina? Wow. I mean, obviously, she probably should have used a little lube. She's up there, right? I mean, unbelievable. I mean, just absolutely crazy stuff. And there's a bunch of other ones that he gets into as well about this guy who's like 400 pounds. And he has a girlfriend who's obviously much, much smaller. And he ends up, this is the first time he's had sex ever. And he thought he had killed his girlfriend because he slammed her head through the wall because he's 440 pounds. And she had a twin bed. He is a twin bed, for Christ's sakes, at 440 pounds, okay? I mean, that poor girl, she's got to feel sorry for her. I guess, I don't know if that's a mercy lay or what. I don't know. But 440 pounds, that dude is a twin bed, and he's like, I thought I killed her. And they ended up going to the emergency room where she had a concussion and, needed a couple stitches, I guess. But, so I figured, there you go. Sex sent me to the ER. And if you have any wild, bizarre stories like that, by all means, send them to us. We want to hear them. I don't know why I'm asking that. We just do. But remember, if you're putting phone in your butt, disinfect it first before you sell it on eBay or Craigslist. That's all we ask. That's all we ask for. Maybe discount it a little bit. I did the Richard Gere experiment with my phone. So sorry. Here's $20 off. Thank you. I use a screen protector. It's been in the case the whole time. But spin cycle, 90 minutes. A girl was playing hide and seek with her cousins in South Jordan, Utah, where she decided that hiding in a washing machine would be a great hiding spot. And, turns out that she did win. She won the hiding spot. Now, the girl lives. She survived. Nothing seriously harmful happened to her. She really wanted to win hide and seek, apparently, is what her mother said. But when she got into the washing machine, she could not get out of the washing machine. She was stuck there for 90 minutes. They had to call the fire department to get her out of the washing machine. The girl, who was very, very embarrassed, did not want her name to be shown on this particular article, but said that her... legs had fallen asleep being stuck in the washing machine for over 90 minutes, but eventually regained the use of her legs again. Obviously, I don't. It wasn't maybe one of those high efficiency washers, like the old school washers with the drum in the middle or something, you know. And yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, she's like, I really want to win hide and seek. I'm gonna hide in the washing machine. And kids out there, if you're listening, yeah, I said Santa was not real, so there's probably no kids listening anyway, but don't hide in a washing machine or refrigerator. It's not a good idea. This is a crazy story that's actually got some publicity, and that is a New Mexico mixed martial arts fighter was at his home when four intruders broke into his mobile home. This guy, police say, attacked the four supposed gang members who broke into his home. He ended up killing one of them. Okay, this guy is a trained MMA fighter, 27 years old, Joseph Torres, you know, ends up killing one, severely injuring another, and the two other gang members who broke into his home around 2 a.m. fled the scene. Now this guy who's defending his home, these jerk-offs who broke into his house, is going to be charged more than likely with murder. I'd be interested to see how this story plays out. One guy ended up stabbing. The other one ended up severe facial injuries. Obviously, he probably broke his nose or his jaw or something. The other two guys realized they broke into the wrong goddamn house and got the hell out of there. Supposedly, these four individuals are linked to a local gang in the New Mexico area. Obviously, they have, you know, prior records and charges and stuff, but not that, that really matters, I guess, in this case. But hey, man, if you're going to break into someone's house and try to steal things and try to cause bodily harm to them, hey, man, you had every right to defend yourself in your own home. I hope this guy doesn't face any significant charges. Absolutely crazy that this was even an issue, you know. But we'll keep abreast of this and see what happens. But obviously, you know, through the holiday weekend we're off, UFC had a couple big matches a couple Saturday nights ago. Anderson the Spider Silva taking on Weldon. This is the second matchup between these two. Highly anticipated rematch. Ended up in one of the worst injuries you'll ever see in sports. Anderson the Spider Silva goes for a basic leg kick. Weldon blocks it with his shin bone. But what happens at that point when that happens in that fight? Oof. Unbelievable. Probably one of, I mean, your leg is not supposed to bend that way. Anderson Silva's leg, right below the kneecap where the shin was, breaks and wraps around Weldon's leg. I mean, it is like Gumby, just absolute straight break. Your leg is not meant to bend that way. He had to have emergency surgery the next day. His fighting career, probably one of the greatest UFC fighters of all time, Anderson the Spider Silva, at a time was very, 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 very dominant as a fighter for a very long time in that industry. It's a shame to see him go out like that. But an injury like that for a guy at that level, at his age, even though he's not obviously old, but in the fight game, he's getting up there, and to have an injury like that, he probably is not going to fight again. They say it's going to take 2 years for it to heal right. So at that point, I unfortunately, one of the greatest UFC fighters in the short history of that sport, probably done due to just a gruesome injury. Also on that card was Ronda Rousey taking on Misha Cupcake Tate. My girl Cupcake Tate, big fan of hers. I really like her a lot. And I like Ronda Rousey to a certain extent. I lost a little respect for her of late, though, just with her overall lack of sportsmanship. I still think it's important, even though it's fitting, there still, you know, should be a certain level of respect there. And I just don't see that with her. And it was pretty evident during that fight. I didn't like Tate's... I didn't like her game plan. I really didn't. And she ended up, I tell you what, Cupcake Tate, she's one tough girl, man. She took a beating, but Ronda Rousey ends up winning it and refusing to shake hands with her and stuff after the bout was over. The crowd picked up on that lack of class too, and she was booed, and rightfully so. There's no reason for that. Whether you like the person or not, there still should be a level of respect there. Let's take a look at the movies this weekend at the box office. Number 10, working our way up to number 1. The movie Grudge Match at $5.3 million. The Hunger Games Catching Fire at $7 million. Secret Life of Walter Mitty, which looks like a really good film, only made $8 million this past weekend. Saving Mr. Banks, $8.6 million. Anchorman 2, The Legend of Ron Burgundy. The Legend Continues, $10.6 million. American Hustle looks great, $10.4 million. The Wolf of Wall Street, which I've got to go see. I hear nothing but great things. A long movie, but I hear it's really awesome, $13.2 million. The Hobbit, $15.6 million. Paranormal Activity, The Marked Ones, They're just kind of going overboard with these, I think. And the first couple were pretty cool. And now I'm like, eh, okay. You know, $18.3 million. And the movie Frozen, which was my son's very, very first film, Christmas Day, which was great. He had a blast. And I recommend if you got kids, really, really great film. Definitely worth going to. I think enjoyable for the whole family. $19.5 million. And in 7 weeks at the box office, has made $296 million at the box office. Again, very well done animated film. Definitely something the whole family can enjoy. But right now, I'm going to welcome the Chimps to the Revelator Show. And this is one of their singles before the guys join us. And that is, Who Can I Trust? I don't know. But the Chimps are on their way here on Revelator.
Sometimes I feel like a sucker when I slow. Smoking weed, sipping Hennessy, watching out for those suckers trying to get me. They try to get me down the way. They try to get me cause they think I'm paid. They don't know about me, only judge what they see, and I don't know who's down for me. Who can I trust? 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 You better fade away. Can't trust in someone who lies. Can't lie to someone I trust. Don't you deceive me. You better get away. Can't trust in you with my life. Can't heal my back with that knife. Everywhere I go, it's the same old issue. Everybody trying to bring me down. Every time I try to climb up out the pit, somebody always around. Trying to tell me what they got when they ain't got jack. How you gonna front on me? Why you wanna place your ways, then rain on my parade? Come on, you ain't OG. Who can I trust? 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 Someone who lies, can't lie to someone I trust. Don't you deceive me. You better get away. Can't trust in you with my life. Can't heal my back with that knife.
Can I Trust here on Revelator with the Chimps, and joining me now are the guys from the band The Chimps. Gentlemen, how in the hell are you this evening? You know what? Pre-show, I was like, man, this is gonna be a good time. I tell you what, man, just like we're at an AA meeting, guys, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourselves and what you do with the band, man?
My name is Chuck P. I am the rapper in the band, and yes, I am a chimpaholic.
My name is Artemis Prime. I am vocals and rhythm guitar.
I'm Scary Carey. I'm lead guitar, and I'm awesome.
Sean on drums. Boom.
And bass player Sean apparently is unable to join us tonight, so hopefully he's feeling a little under the weather, feeling the winter chill there. So hopefully he gets back to 100%, man. Now, I got to get into you guys, man. I mean, coming across you guys, I was like, man, you guys, kind of have that just unique kind of style, man, with the rap rock stuff. But I think it's a lot more in-depth than that. But you guys work with Ryan Green, pretty famous producers, work with Megadeth, Bad Religion, and a couple other ones as well. Talk to me about what it was like to work with someone who'd been in the industry as long as Ryan has, and some of the things you guys learned from working with someone like that.
Well, Ryan is the coolest thing about him is he's so easy to deal with. He knows how to work with people in the studio and put up with all our bullshit. So. It was really fun and easy, and he's a really good friend of ours, and he's doing all our new album coming up
after Ryan.
This single we just released, and we love his work, and we can't wait to work more with him.
Mr. Green, I think the most thing about Ryan for myself and the other guys is that he brings something else to it. It's not like, okay, let's press record. And okay, that's the take.
Yeah, he produces.
You know, it's like if it doesn't sound right, he's not afraid to tell you that what you're playing sucks. And that's what a lot of bands need. Like, they need someone to tell them.
Need someone to slap them in the face.
You know, this ain't working right. Try something different.
Yeah, he sticks a foot in our ass once in a while. But all for the better, you know?
Feels great.
Feels great.
Well, I'm glad you said that, man, because we've talked with a lot of bands and that have worked with some pretty interesting producers who, not necessarily, how they say it, but it's, what they're saying and then how they say it. You know what I mean? Like, hey, maybe we should change this arrangement or do this, or, you should try it this way. And, maybe to kind of give you a kind of a different look on recording. And obviously you mentioned working with him in the future. What's the writing process like? Is he going to be involved with that? Or are you guys kind of, we've got, 8 songs or whatever it is. You take it to him and say, hey, this is what we want to do. And then you guys work on arrangements at that point.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it is. Like, we do the writing ourselves. We write the parts that we want to write. We do different variations. It takes us a long time to write our songs, but the way we really write is, Scary Carey, Art, they come up with these riffs. Scary Carey will come in there and he'll do some stuff. He might do it with just the drummer for a day. And then we'll come in and be like, hey, what you got going on? And we'll do that for a day. And then we'll write all that together and then present it.
Yeah, we record it at our studio. We send it to him. And then he says, that sucks. Try something else.
The thing about it is like when we first started working with him, it was kind of like that, but... Like, now we're already trying different things so that when we go into the studio, we're already ready to go.
Yeah. We're anticipating minor changes, his next move. But we work great together. He's not the brutal master we're portraying him to be.
No, I meant it's not, man. Have you guys set like a time frame on a new album? Obviously, the new single War Machine we're going to hear a little bit later in the show. But, do you guys have a time frame? Are you looking to get something out this calendar year?
We got a goal.
Well, our goal is this. We start our tour April 25th for our summer tour. So before that, we should be done with the CD. So in the next 3 months.
Awesome. Very cool, man. You guys have Nashville penciled in on the summer tour, man?
We've got some Nationals penciled in.
It's in the works.
We can't really release anything right now because it's really early.
He said National Pennsylvania, not Nationals penciled in.
Oh.
You're going to Amish country to play? No, you're playing some Hurt Sheets.
There's a couple shows I can't say really anything about right now that are we're gonna get close to Pennsylvania right there. Right. But I can't say anything now because it's a little early. But, that's our plan, sure.
Yeah, definitely stick around on thechimps.com with a Z and stay tuned for, what's going on.
But definitely, yeah, man, I definitely keep me in the loop too, man. When you guys come back around and get the new album, come back on, have some fun, man. Now, I got to talk to you about live shows. Went online, checked some of your live footage out, and obviously a lot of high energy, man. Do you guys have any pre-show rituals at all, man? You guys, loosen up, is there, anything you guys?
A lot of vodka.
Jägermeister.
I like to draw like a pentagram with ketchup on the floor and chant.
Yeah, with candles and all kinds of mirrors. And
we do snowballs in ketchup pentagrams.
Just empty beer boxes, empty vodka, ketchup pentagram. We're ready to go.
Yeah. Awesome. We actually we don't really have a ritual. I think our ritual is something that we do every day anyways. Like, we don't have like a show thing, but a lot of us, like, we travel, we hang out with each other so much. When we get to a show and it's time for a show, it's just like, it's some Voltron shit. We're mad at each other, but it's like, shut up and get your ass in the hole. Let's go.
Yeah.
We got shit to do. We got work to do.
We are a team.
Team on stage, yeah. Tell you.
Awesome, man. Now, you guys seem like you're pretty fun dudes, man. I mean, what's the most bizarre, interesting thing that you guys have seen on the road or prank that you guys have played on one other or another band, man?
Okay, here we go.
Which one?
Here Perry, you get the first
Let me
shot
dig into the vault.
Yeah.
What am I allowed to talk about?
Hey, anything's open. We're open season here, man.
Throw something at me.
Let's see.
What about that lady?
Let's talk about the needle.
Needle story. Okay. All right, I kind of met this pretty nurse girl, and as far as I knew, she was just a nurse. She came to our show in San Diego at the Salty
Frog. We won't say all the names.
San Diego, a show. And
After the show,
she happened to ask, I think, Chuck.
We're in the RV, like, drinking it up.
She asked me if I could give her a spoon, if I had a spoon.
A metal spoon. And so a metal spoon, and, you know, and then she asked Chuck, he didn't find one. She asked me, I thought she was looking for some cereal or was going to eat some soup
then
or something.
And Terry came up and asked me for a metal spoon. And what the hell?
And then I was going around the whole bar and actually asking everybody for a metal spoon, and I still had no idea what it was for.
And so then I'm sitting here, and, you know, you're wondering, like, what the F is wrong with the spoon thing. I had just became a diabetic at the time, so I had, you know, I just started, so I had like the intro pack of syringes that they give you at the hospital when you just become a diabetic.
Right.
And so I'm sitting in the RV, and this chick's like, hey, you got a spoon? And I'm like, yeah. And she's all, yeah, I'm a nurse. Let me check out one of your needles. Let me show you how to use it. And I didn't think nothing of it. I turned around, and she's straight cooking some H right in the tour bus outside. I'm like, shit. And then I locked the door. You know, I'm like, okay, can't nobody come in here. I'm fucked now. It's just screwed. You know, and she misses her vein.
Yeah, she missed it, too.
And so she missed her vein, and it was a big, big thing, you know. And there's a
bloody mess.
Yeah. Blood everywhere.
Hello, nurse.
A mess in general. Yeah.
Oh, after that, we just laughed our asses off.
Yeah, and so now
hey, there's also
we don't carry spoons.
There's also
right. No metal spoons required.
It's awesome. It's not
plastic
cereal.
Spoons.
Hey, you remember that tornado last year in
Moore,
Oklahoma?
Moore, yes. Oklahoma.
We almost ended up right in the middle of it.
Yeah, we were on tour.
And there's actually a video of us on
YouTube.
Right behind it.
Yeah, we're right behind it, and we're getting pounded by hail.
Yeah.
And it
was pretty shit.
Gnarly.
That's on the Chimps with a Z YouTube.
Yeah,
check that out.
Oh, yeah, I'll have to check that one out for sure, man. Well, I tell you what, man, switching gears on you guys. Now, you guys have kind of been all over the place, man. You guys have been around for – maybe people don't realize how long you guys have been around, but you guys have been featured on the hit TV show Sons of Anarchy a couple times, most recently I think season 5 with the next song we're going to hear tonight, which is Mr. 44. You guys were on Bam Show on MTV. Talk to me – is it something you guys would like to get into more is getting on to more TV shows and doing like some soundtrack stuff as well and getting more into that aspect too, man?
Well, besides those, we've still kind of been venturing into that. We had Corrupt from the album Who Can I Trust, which was on the last Road Rules Challenge, Adrenalina TV. There's a few more ones out there. It's kind of part of the whole thing. Like, you want to get your stuff on TV and stuff.
Yeah, like Bam Margera's Unholy Union. Yeah, we have a song on each one of their episodes also.
Bam's a fan.
But, that's something that I think all artists need to pursue, because it just gives you another avenue to promote your music and, get a little bit of change on the side, but also just to promote your brand. You can have them you know, throw your Twitter up there. There's a lot of different things that can give you free benefits that you would otherwise pay for by getting placements, you know.
Right. Now, are you guys a fan of the Sons of Anarchy show as well?
Yeah,
watch every episode.
Of course.
Would you guys? I watched the season finale. My wife is really into that show, man. And I've got so much catching up to do. I caught that train late, but would you guys make it the season finale, man?
I thought it was pretty insane. Yeah, I thought it was crazy. It was not what I expected, but yeah, you know, they got to go out with a bang and got to make it, you know, like something shocking, you know. I know that, so I was expecting something like that.
Don't spoil it. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, I'll tell you what, guys. Let's take a quick break. We're going to rock that the Mr. 44 song out, which, you know, obviously was featured on the Sons of Anarchy TV show. And we'll come back and we'll wrap some more, man. Is that cool with you guys?
Yeah, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
The Chimps, Mr. 44, here on Revelator.
You my boy, but let me tell you one thing, my vo-vo, it make you sing, and if I don't get my cash, you won't be feeling that bang, so what's this, now, I can't get paid, let's get down, bloodsucker, gotta have it made, so this is it, yeah, now, let's get paid, let's get down, bloodsucker, gotta have it made, Mr. 44, got 60 old friends, and they can all run faster than you, Mr. 44, got 60 old friends, and they are coming, they're coming. So watch this now. I can't get paid. Let's get down, bloodsucker. Gotta have it made. So this is it now. Let's get paid. Let's get down, bloodsucker. Gotta have it made. Mr. 44 got 60 old friends, and they can all run faster than you. Mr. 44 got 60 old friends, and they are coming. They're coming. They're coming for you. Mr. 44 got 60 old friends, and they can all.
The Chimps here on Revelator. That is Mr. 44 hanging out with the guys from the band. Now, I got to ask you, man, I think I pretty much get into every band about this, and obviously the name Chimps and how you guys got started, but before we get into that, I want to know, what are the band names you didn't select?
We didn't even really. It was a no-brainer.
Yeah. We're like, we're Chimps for life.
we were calling each other Chimps before we even... Name before it was even a band.
Yeah. It's kind of like a brotherhood thing.
It's kind of like you say, hey, what's up, homie? What's up, this?
What's up, that? Man?
What's up, Chip? What's cracking, Chip? What you doing today?
What up, dude? What up, Chip?
It was just a natural thing. This is something that just came out of what we used to call each other.
Then Art decided to put a Z on the end.
Yep.
Make it different and unique.
Now, would you guys all... You guys all grew up in the same neighborhood kind of thing? You guys, you know, known one another since high school kind of thing? Or what's the scenario how you guys all met?
We're all from different areas.
We kind of like settled in the valley pretty much, where we're from.
This is Sean, the drummer. I met Art in the beginning. We started jamming, and then...
back then, it was just the garage days.
Yeah, we weren't even, like, trying to be a band and stuff.
And I was neighbors with a couple of the chimps, and... See, they didn't like rap back in the day. They would just only do punk, like valley punk rock and shit.
Actually, I was roommates with our bass player years before he was even in the band. And then, yeah, Kerry was friends of us in a different band for a few years before.
Everybody in this band is from we're from a certain circle.
We kind of knew each other before.
Before they met through other bands, mostly an artist. Yeah, I'm from all over LA, but I was in another band, and we were like fans of each other's bands, and then
but you can't be like saying nothing about your other band.
Oh yeah, we won't talk about that.
What's wrong with you, man?
You're supposed to forget about those.
Forget about your other band.
It's like an ex-girlfriend, man. You don't talk about that shit.
Yeah, right.
But now, like, literally, this band is like, there's a circle in this band. Like, no one that's ever been in this band is an outsider. Like, we've all been in the same vicinity at some point over the last 10, 15 years.
I don't know. Now, in the last, 10, 15 years, what are some of you guys' major influences? Obviously, some different influences. You mentioned, obviously, some punk, some hip-hop, which you guys have obviously blended that style together and kind of made it your own. I mean, what are some of your influences? And you guys can all kind of chime in on this, whether it be early childhood memories, stuff your parents listened to, or stuff you recently got into that kind of that you're really into now.
Yeah,
Everything from like Tupac to Frank Sinatra to Korn to I'm a huge fan of Pantera, but my first concert was actually like Michael Jackson, so you could really say everything for me. Yeah, but other than that, it's all around the board. I mean, except for opera, I'm not into, and not really big Justin Bieber.
Opera's great,
fan.
Dude.
It's all about Pat Benatar.
You mean you don't like Justin Bieber? Oh, man, I can't believe you just dissed him.
Cheap Trick and Led Zeppelin and Aerosmith, they got me started in music.
Yeah. I was just at a concert standing next to Sean, and Cheap Trick was playing, and he almost wet his pants.
He was singing all the lyrics.
That was actually my first concert.
Yeah. Screaming like a little girl.
He's like, dude, I'm going to see Hootie next week. You want to go?
Yeah.
But I like
the dolphin shorts.
Coming up on the hip hop side, Chuck P is a Public Enemy, early Ice Cube, early NWA, LL's like the nice, really good rappers, sounding solid. Was the era I came from, from 84 to 91, 93. And so, all that era of hip-hop kind of, molded my thing. But at the same time, when that was going on, you had, the super heavy metal bands. So, and I lived in San Diego back then, and so we were getting both rap and the rock. They weren't together, but I'd sit on the block, and I'd listen to my dude playing the Beastie Boys. Then I'd go over to my next-door neighbors, and he was playing, Dokken and some Lita Ford, just all that stuff together, just too many influences to name for me.
And we're all like that. Yeah, we all kind of have mixed influences, so it kind of comes, that's how it comes out in our music.
Like, with me, dude, I remember the days when we'd go out shooting guns and we would listen to, Britney Spears and Rihanna.
Good manly stuff.
put on the 98 degrees greatest hits, just let it go,
there's too many in the name.
We don't let that come out in the music, though.
Just suppress it's suppressed boys to men stuff,
Yeah, he got carried away. So
all I would say to everybody, just press play.
Yeah, right, definitely.
Now, this is our first show of the new year. Christmas just ended. New Year's and stuff. Did you guys have a good New Year's, good Christmas? Get to spend time with family and all that stuff.
We had a good time, my family's out in Texas, so, I spend it out here with my friends and whatnot, everybody else, we all had a good time.
We just chilled.
I think
we use it as an excuse to get away from each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need a break from each other.
I realize adults get less presents these days. It's really for the kids, nieces, right, nephews, stuff like that, which is cool,
Yeah.
We spend all our money on the music. But I
had a great time. I don't get to see, I got two kids. And I don't get to see them as much as I'd like because I'm always doing music stuff besides the chimps and other music things. But I'm always on
not allowed to talk about that, dude.
Hey, As long as I don't mention a band name, right?
Right.
They have strict rules.
So actually, Christmas was really cool for me. I got 24 hours of nothing but just me and my kids. So it was
cool. Awesome. Well, cool, man. Congrats. Do you guys any weird gifts or anything from like family members? You're like, what in the hell did you just get me for Christmas? Kind of thing. Anything like that, or anything that you're re-gifting next year at all?
Yeah, you know, I've been cooking a lot, and I got barbecue tools made out of with hockey handles because my brother-in-law is a former hockey player and a Navy SEAL. But he made these, you know, like really cool barbecue tools made out of hockey handles. I was really impressed. I'd never seen him put something together except for alcohol drinks, but that was very cool. So I was very impressed and grateful for that.
I re-gifted something, but I'm not allowed to talk about it.
I get the gift. Right, yeah.
All right, fair enough. We'll keep that under wraps. Now, any of you guys, do you remember like the worst day jobs you guys ever had, man, before, you know, you got it, like, you know, being full time into music? I mean, any day jobs you look back on, you go, oh man, I don't know how I did that.
Oh yeah.
Let me tell you like this. We're still in that mix.
Yeah, we're still in there.
Right. I think I had a rough one though, man. I could talk about it a little bit. You know, I was security for a strip club, and it just seems like when you're working there, it's like going to preschool. I mean, these guys are a lot of sickos, a lot of weirdos, and I can say now because I don't work there anymore, and just, you know, perverted guys, but just guys that go there every night, you know. And that was the weirdest thing to me. I just never could understand there. I was getting paid to be there, but they weren't, and I just, you know, I don't know, the guys that, you know, like I said, trouble
like
outside
it.
Of the strip club.
If I had enough money to go to a strip club every night, I'd be at there. I'd be there and shit.
did you get to make friends with the strippers at all? Was, you know, like Roxy or you know, Scarlett or whoever? You know, did you get to friend any of the strippers while you're there, man?
Oh, you know, yeah, well, you get in trouble for that. You're not supposed to fraternize with the strippers.
Yeah.
And I tried to promote the band, actually. It was funny. That was when I started with the Chimps, and I was trying to promote the band, and they play our music there. But if I exchanged numbers, I almost got caught for that, so I had to chill on that. But but just say I can't kiss and tell. But, yeah, you know, I still keep in touch.
Right, dude, right.
If you go to a strip club, you got to wear windbreakers, dude.
Yeah,
that's the way to go.
That is a helpful tip for sure, man. Well, I think I know where I'm going after we did done the interview tonight. Now, I'm getting my windbreaker on. I don't care how cold it is.
I think my worst job out in Cali was I used to catch lobsters for tourists at a certain restaurant and have to like hold it up and do the pitcher thing. That was the worst thing. Like,
let me hear it, man. Let me hear your lobster pitch right now, man. Let's hear it.
I'm like, hey, do you want a 2-pound? You want a 3-pound? You want a 1.3? I got it for you. And then they would look at me and they would say some shit in another language I didn't know.
Yeah, what's up with that crazy black man?
Wasting my breath. They're probably saying, oh, it's this crazy black dude with an afro with a damn lobster in his hand. Let's go to the register.
Oh, I had a pretty bad one. Me and a friend, we had a temp job cleaning the trash chutes in all the buildings downtown, and basically with the hot sprayers shooting down the trash chutes, and then you get down to the bottom and the whole basement is ankles deep in cockroaches.
Nice.
Oh, that's brutal. Nice. Well, hey guys, it's been a pleasure having you guys on here, and we close out. I want to get back on track a little bit. Obviously, we talk about your future plans. You guys got some stuff coming up, you know, in the spring into the summer, man. So definitely keep us in a loop when you guys can reveal more information about that. Come back on, man. Hope you guys enjoyed yourselves, and we close out with which is your new single, War Machine, which I think you said would have been out maybe about a month or so now. People, I encourage everyone to go to the site, download it. You can get it on iTunes as well, I believe. Download that. Am I mistaken there?
Yeah. Let me give you the rundown of everything real quick. You know, I'm going to make sure we plug our sponsors, Jägermeister, Outlaw Thread,
Schecter,
Sullen Music,
Sabian,
Sullen Clothing,
Equation,
Bogner Amps, everybody who's been supporting us. Yeah, we got a bunch of things coming up. Stay tuned on Reverb Nation to check our shows and everything. We got a free download right now of War Machine, which is good. They're going to play. You just go to thechimps.com
with a Z
and type in your email, and you'll get that as well. So that's what we wanted to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get it.
Hey, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure, man. Hopefully you had a good time. And we close out tonight. Hey, everyone, go to thechimps.com, download War Machine. It's a kick-ass track you're going to hear right now here on Revelator. Chimps here on Revelator. That is War Machine, and as the guy said, you can head on over to chimpswithaz.com, download that single War Machine, look for their new album coming out sometime in the middle of 2014. Again, special thanks to the Chimps, and you can hear the Chimps on this episode of Revelator at omnes.tv. again, that's omnes.tv. Episode number 41, the very first episode of the year 2014. Also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/omnes.tv. again, that's omnes.tv. You can find me, Ryan_unsigned, on Twitter, and I haven't been on there quite as much with the holiday season, but I'll be back in the swing here, have no fear. But I tell you what, let's take a look at the NFL playoffs. Playoffs? Man, I tell you what a great weekend it's been. Now, I finished the regular season. If you follow me on Twitter, you know that I was still making my predictions for the regular season, and the playoffs are in full swing. On the regular season, I end up 165-93 of games I actually picked, and wild card weekend was this past weekend. It was outstanding. The Saints-Eagles ended up in a last-second field goal. The Saints' run defense was surprisingly very, very good, especially for a dome team. Now, congratulations, Saints. You beat Philadelphia. You get to go to Seattle and play the Super Bowl favorites. I'm taking Seahawks all the way there. I think that team is, I think they're one of the best teams in football, and that's why they're have the best record, the number one overall seed in the NFC. The Chiefs, you want to talk about choking away a game, the second largest comeback in playoff history. Indianapolis Colts, led by Andrew Luck, make a big-time major comeback in the Chiefs' secondary. Just dreadful. I mean, I don't know how you let one guy, knowing that T.Y. Hilton, the wide receiver for the Colts, is the only guy who can beat you, why you don't double-team him. You just let him run wild through your secondary. I'll never know. And that's one of those games that Andy Reid will always think about. Not that he doesn't have enough of those in Philadelphia, as it is, but that's one of those games he's going to think about for a long time, because that Kansas City team was pretty good this year. Andrew Luck heading to Foxborough to take on Tom Brady this weekend. That's going to be a classic. With that being said, I still think Tom Brady and the Patriots at home in Foxborough. I like Andrew Luck a lot, and I like this Colts team a lot. It's just one of those things that I don't think Brady and Belichick are quite ready to bow out just yet. I think they got one more run in them. Now, the other AFC wildcard game, the Chargers taking on the Cincinnati Bengals. Being the Cincinnati Bengals, they haven't won a playoff game in 25 years, the longest stretch in the NFL. Andy, don't call me Gingerbread Dalton, throws two interceptions and an unforced fumble. The San Diego Chargers. Stay classy, San Diego. Big win under first-year head coach Mike McCoy. You hear that, Cleveland Browns? First-year head coach took them to the playoffs, and now they got a playoff win. Now they take on their division rivals, the Denver Broncos, in Mile High. A lot of people, you know what, it wouldn't surprise me if Peyton Manning choked this game away, and it wouldn't be Peyton Manning that choked it. It would be the Denver Broncos bench that choked it. But with that being said, I think Denver is that much better than San Diego, and I think at this point San Diego is just happy to be there. I'm taking Denver in a close one at that. How about the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field? The 49ers steal a win, and I tell you, with a very game Green Bay team, a lot of injuries this year, Aaron Rodgers coming back, and congratulations to former Cleveland Brown, Phil Dawson, in winning his very first playoff game, a winning field goal to send the 49ers to Carolina to take on the Panthers. And Phil Dawson, I follow him on Twitter, tweeted, pure class act, spent 14 years in Cleveland, never got a chance to even smell the playoffs, comes in at a big moment, and shows he's one of the best kickers of all time. Phil Dawson, game winner in negative 12 degree weather to win the football game. His tweet, well worth the wait. Congratulations to Phil Dawson. The 49ers heading to Carolina, which I think could probably be one of the best games of the weekend. A lot of good games, but that was a good one. That's going to be run the football, smash mouth defense. First one at 13, I think, wins, and I think the 49ers will steal that thing. Now let's take a look at the NCAA National Championship game, which was just this the other night. The SEC doesn't win the title. The BCS closes out, and Florida State coming back in dramatic fashion. Congratulations to the Florida State Seminoles. Boy, that looked like they were dead in the water, down 18 points, and to come back in the second half. And that Florida State defense just turned it up a notch in the second half and allowed, you know, made plays and allowed Florida State to get in the thing. And also, the fourth down fake punt play by Jimbo Fisher, that was a gutsy, you know what, we're here to win this damn thing, and we're going to do whatever it takes. That was a gutsy call, and that really did stem the tide into the second half as well. Congratulations to Florida State winning the national title 14-0 in dominant fashion throughout the season. And we close out, hey, again, first show of the year. Upcoming guests, we have Heaven the Axe from Melbourne, Australia. Lovely Miss Jennifer Vaughn will be joining us again this January. And one of my personal all-time favorite bands, Clutch, will be joining us. So keep it locked right here on Revelator. And also Redline Chemistry, another band you may not be familiar with. Really, really good stuff there. We're going to play some stuff off their album Tug of War as well. So keep along locked right here on Revelator through January. And some bands that I'm interested in, they're going to release albums in 2014. The top of that list, of course, it's Tool. The band New Medicine we had on last year, they're still working on new material. Looking forward to hearing what that's going to sound like. Also, Mastodon, Foo Fighters, and Black Label Society, all set to release new albums in 2014 at some point. Black Label Society will actually be here in about a month or so. Again, Mike, thanks again. You all do a wonderful job. Thanks, everybody, for listening, hanging out with us. And thanks to the Chimps as well. And I'll tell you what, keep it locked here in January. It's going to be a blast. We're going to move right into February, get this new year rolling. It seems harder to enjoy the finer things in life. Until next time, do so, everybody.
This was episode 41, Claw Hammer and Metal Spoons. For show notes or links to topics discussed on this episode of Revelator, or to experience previous episodes, head on over to omnes.tv, that's omnes.tv, and click on Revelator. Thanks for listening.